This podcast is powered by the Leading at the Top of Your Game development experience. If you would like to work with Karen and the shockingly different leadership team to up-level the leadership execution acumen within your organization, visit developingyourgame.com to find out more.
The need for accessibility accommodation is only going to increase. And so we're helping these large enterprises make sure their digital products, whether that's a website, an application, a software, is accessible and usable for people with disabilities.
Welcome to the Lead at the Top of Your Game podcast, where we equipped you to more effectively lead your seat at any employer, business, or industry in which you choose to play. Each week, we help you sharpen your leadership acumen by cracking open the playbooks of dynamic leaders who are doing big things in their professional endeavors. And now your host, leadership tactics and organizational development expert, Karen Farrell Rhodes.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, and thanks for joining another episode designed to help you better lead at the top of your game. As you know, for season three, each month we're featuring leaders who have interesting roles in a particular profession or industry. Today's episode is part of our special series featuring leaders navigating the digital world. Did you know that there are 1.5 billion people with disabilities in the world? Each one in this population has special challenges, and using the tons of digital tools and websites that are out there is second nature to us, but difficult to many of them. But fortunately, there are companies whose mission it is to decrease the accessibility gap, and we are fortunate to have one of the CEOs of such companies with us today. We're thrilled to feature Alvar Poulet, who is the CEO and co-founder of Fable, which is a company that is focused on transforming digital accessibility and inclusion. Alvar is one of the few female founders who has raised more than $10 million in capital for their businesses, and she shares how Fable is tackling the problem of a new term that I learned called digital segregation. And this is a term that kind of reflects how only 3% of the internet is digitally accessible, despite how much we use online tools to run our daily lives. So please listen to her tips and perspectives, of which I know will help you gain additional insights on how to help you lead at the top of your game. And now, enjoy the show. Hey there, superstars. This is Karen, and welcome to another episode of the Lead at the Top of Your Game podcast. Now, I don't know if you all remember, but in episode 19, we had a fantastic guest by the name of Amber Hines, who talked about digital accessibility in regards to technology and how important it is for leaders in the workplace to make sure that their technology is accessible for both their clients and their employees alike. Well, we have a similar episode, but on steroids today, and so honored and pleased to have on today's show, Ms. Alvar Poulet, who is the CEO of Fable. And Fable is a company that is focused on transforming digital accessibility and inclusion. And I'm going to let her explain in detail what they do, because I will not do it justice. They are doing some fantastic work at Fable. But just know that Fable has worked with the likes of major players in the market like Slack, Walmart, Shopify, Meta, and CVS Health. Alvar as well has been featured as one of the Forbes 30 under 30. I'm trying to age her. Sorry. 30 under 30 awardee. So she is the real deal. And she's one of the few female founders who has raised more than $10 million in capital. And for those of you who know, one of my passions are around private equity and venture capital activity. Those of us in that space know how hard that is for female founders. So we want to give her kudos and her flowers on the day's show as well. So welcome to the podcast, Alvar.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I cannot wait to dig into your story and share it with our listeners for a bit, because you are truly a young leader within your own right that's making a difference, a very meaningful difference in today's world. But before we do that, we'd love for our audience to get a sneak peek into you behind the scenes. So for as much as you feel comfortable, Would you mind sharing just a sneak peek into your personal life?
My personal life, well, as being in startup, definitely a lot of my life is consumed by work, and I love it because I'm passionate about the work that I do.
Yeah.
But I think this was about over a year ago, I got a cat, and I've always been a dog person. And I actually gave a lot of people a hard time when they would have cats. And then my husband was like, why don't we get a cat? You know, our lifestyle, you know, it might suit us more. And I loved it so much that now a week ago, I have my second kitten.
Wow.
And it's been adorable just to see the two of them run around and just to see me do a full 180 on how I feel about pets.
So 10 years ago, would you have ever believed you would be the owner of two cats now, right?
No. I grew up in India and I always wanted a dog. But my mom, rightfully so, she had a lot to do and she's like, I already have two kids.
Yeah.
And you all are not going to like take care of this dog. So as long as you live under my roof, you don't get to have a pet. And so I never had a pet growing up and I've always wanted one. So it's been a great feeling to, you know, finally have a pet. I didn't expect it to be a cat, but... or cats now.
Yeah.
But absolutely love it.
Oh, well, welcome to the worlds of the cat family. I do love cats, but I am a dog person, I'd say first and foremost, and then cats run a close second.
That's fair.
And the audience knows sometimes I hear a puppy under the desk because he sits under the desk. And listeners, you may not know, but we have a second new dog named Bones. So we welcome Bones to the Lead at the Top of Your Game family. So they sit nice next to each other under the desk, usually while we're doing work and recording. So happy. And thank you, you know, so much for sharing a little bit about your cat family, Alvar. That's so sweet. Well, let's jump right in. We'd love to hear a little bit about the story of Fable. So can you start out by telling what Fable is, what you focus on, and who are your target customers, and why you decided to create the company?
Yeah. So what Fable does is we help enterprises, companies that have large digital teams. Typically, they have, you know, millions of users, or they're making over $10 billion in revenue. So it kind of tells you about the scale of their operations. And we help these companies reach a wider audience. And when I mean wider audience, I mean people with disabilities. There are over 1.5 billion people with disabilities in the world. Everyone experiences disabilities at different times, whether that's permanent, situational, or temporary. And with the aging market, we know that about 46% of people over the age of 60 experience disability. So the need for accessibility accommodation is only going to increase. And so we're helping these large enterprises make sure their digital products, whether that's a website, an application, a software, is accessible and usable for people with disabilities. That's the core problem that we're solving. And the reason, you know, I co-founded Fable with Abid Virani 5 years ago is at that time, and it continues to be so, a majority of our internet is inaccessible. I think WebAIM reported in 2022 about only 3% of our internet is accessible. And think about everything that we do nowadays. Everything is online, right?
Yeah.
Like banking, shopping, working, everything is leveraged by some tool or the other. And so when we don't make our digital products accessible, we're really creating digital segregation.
Yes.
And our goal is to mitigate that. But yeah, coming back to the reason I started this is because I also actually wasn't aware of this problem. So my background has been in user experience design. I've done my undergrad in UX. I've done my master's in inclusive design. And when I was doing my master's is when I got introduced to this problem, because my thesis was around how do you design technology for seniors as they age so that they can be socially connected? Because I was noticing a lot of seniors in my life be like, oh, I don't know how to use WhatsApp. I don't know how to use Messenger. Like, you know, it's not easy for me.
Yeah.
And it was very quickly to blame the user. But the problem was that these apps and websites were not designed keeping their needs in mind.
That's right.
And that's when I understood the challenges that people with disabilities also face. And so decided to try solving that problem. I was hired at Rogers, one of the big telcos here in Canada, and trying to help them with their digital accessibility. And that's when I understood the problem from the business lens, that it's not easy to do so. The tools we have, the resources we have, is not helping us reach that audience. And the primary reason for that is because we're not engaging with people with disabilities. We're trying to solve the problem without talking to the people who experience the problem. And how does that work? So that's why we started Fable, to bridge that gap so that product teams can talk to people with disabilities and get the insights they need to build accessible experiences.
Oh, that is just amazing. If I can just share just something really quick, I want the listeners to understand that difficulty with accessibilities into technology is not new. This has been around for a long time. I'm a lot older than you are. I'll just say that and leave it there. But even when I was starting out in the corporate world, you know, one of my first hires for my team was a deaf individual, just a superstar, had a master's degree and, you know, a lot of skills that she brought to the table, but she was frequently discriminated against because of her disability. And back then, tech was in what I'll call the olden ages. But I hired her because she was wonderfully qualified. But then even back then, in the early times of tech, especially HR tech, it was not accessible for her at all. And fast forward to maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, when I worked at Microsoft, you know, digital accessibility was a primary focus in a lot of the software that Microsoft was developing. But if I'm honest, it was tough and there wasn't as much of a focus as there is now in infusing that accessibility and helping companies use it well to embrace individuals that had disabilities or had accessibility issues. So, you know, I think we've come a long way. Especially in the last few years, it's become more in the limelight. But I, in my opinion, from what I see in the market, there's a lot of companies that still have a long way to go to understanding, getting some, or working with a partner like Fable, incorporating more into their systems to really be, you know, top notch and where they should be. That's Karen's opinion, but I'd love for you to weigh in because you live this each and every day. So are you seeing a better focus by companies now, or is it still a struggle? You're still having to tell that story.
So I completely agree with you. You know, accessibility has been around for a long time. Accessibility laws have been around for a long time. I think the thing that I would say is it is still a process. So the struggle is there, but the difference now is that there's a lot more intentionality to wanting to solve the problem. Doesn't mean that the problem is solved, but I think what we're seeing more and more in the last, I mean, like, you know, 5 to 7 years, is that now it's at least a topic of discussion amongst executives. Before, it wasn't even a topic at the table. And if it's not being talked about at the table, then there's not much attention going to it. Right. So I think now there's a broader understanding that, yes, inclusive practices leads to a broader benefit. Organizations have a lot more commitments to DE&I. And I think now the problem is not like, should we do this, but how do we do it? How do we do it at scale? And I think that's a good place to be. Yeah. And if companies are thinking about it from that lens, then you are maturing with the industry.
So does Fable provide strategic consulting for companies that are new to this and are trying to, they're starting at the very beginning on really thinking through advancing their accessibility of their technology and platforms? Do you all assist with that?
So we definitely work with companies that are all levels of accessibility maturity.
Okay.
But we focus on enterprise organizations because that's where we see, you know, the biggest impact. And our mission at Fable is to empower people with disabilities to participate in, to contribute to, and to shape society. And the best way we think that's possible is to work with the largest organizations that have the biggest footprint. And in turn, we can, you know, unlock that access. So when it comes to how do we work with our customers, our goal is to be able to provide the tools and resources so that product teams can be able to just bake accessibility into their process. So our engagement with them is consultative, but it is them using the tools we've built that helps them really decentralize and integrate accessibility across their entire product development process.
Nice, nice. So if a company is at kind of the beginning stages of doing better, I'll say, if you will, do you have recommendations on what they should be thinking about as they think through how to incorporate or include the perspective of disabled users in their product development or technology implementations?
Yeah, definitely. I think any company that's, you know, wanting to take this next step has to approach it from a more holistic process. So the way I see it is like there's people, process, and technology. And so one is the how are you enabling your teams to now do something that they never did before? And how do you make it feel like it's not additional work, that your work is just changing? The way you build products are changing. So they don't see, oh, I have to do accessibility as well right now. You don't want teams to feel that. You want teams to be excited about wanting to reach a broader audience. So there's a bit of behavioral change that you need to facilitate when you're wanting to take this next step. The next one is your process. So if you want to integrate people with disabilities, when are you integrating their feedback? Are you integrating it at the research stage? Are you integrating at the design stage? Or are you only thinking about it once you've built the product and how do you retrofit it to work for people with disabilities? Our goal is that when you get insights throughout the process, and if your process is inclusive, then your output is going to be accessible because you've thought about everything. And then the next layer is technology. And when we're talking about these large enterprises, tools and platforms make a huge difference. So anytime you can lean on tools that help you do that easily, Fable obviously has a bunch of tools. There are a lot of other companies that offer tools to integrate accessibility and make sure you're maintaining a standard of quality. So I would say anyone, any organization that's wanting to take this step, really think about it from all of these three buckets and not just like, oh, how do I make like this one part of my product accessible? Like, do you want to build a system then?
No, that sounds fantastic. And to give some context, because you live and breathe this every day, can you give us an example of a company or a case study where they did it right, you know, that they included accessibility into their planning? That will kind of make it real for our audience members.
Yeah. There's definitely a bunch of companies that have done a really great job. And we have a few case studies on our website. And there's this one about Porter Airlines. They're a Canadian airlines. And so for them, it's not just, you know, the physical accessibility of the experience of someone with a disability flying with them. It's about the experience online. It starts online. And how do you make that better? And they were approaching accessibility, you know, more from a different lens and compliance lens. And then once they took at it from a, you know, user-centric perspective, they included their researchers, they included their engineers, like everyone had a role to play. And the biggest difference was when people who are building products see the products that they built get used by people with disabilities, and then are observing the challenges. Like you are seeing someone who's blind going through a product that you build and are struggling to complete a flow. That moments are the ones that I think make the biggest difference because people realize, oh, this is such an infuriating problem. And I actually have all the capabilities to like fix this easily so that this person doesn't experience it. So it's this combination of like frustration, but also empowerment because teams now have the right insights to act on it. And so we've seen a lot of companies similar to Porter go through that experience of, you know, how they approach accessibility to before to once they get actually real user insights. And we feel like companies become much more empathy driven. And that's what you want ultimately from the end of the day. You don't want to look at accessibility from a compliance lens. You want to look at it from trying to solve a problem for an end user.
Gosh, that's just absolutely fascinating. I can listen to this all day. That is amazing. And where do you see, are there additional big misses in, it's the real question I want to ask. The real question I want to ask are, what are trends that you're seeing in the market that companies are still either missing or that they're finally embracing? Like, what are the trends right now in the technology accessibility industry?
Yeah, I would say a trend that I'm seeing change, but there's still a majority of organizations that are like in this transition phase, which is accessibility got introduced to enterprises from a compliance lens. So it got viewed as like a legal requirement, a legal checklist. And it's taken a long time to help businesses understand like the reason why those, you know, legal requirements exist and like why lawsuits happen is because ultimately like a huge population is being left behind. But it took a long time for businesses to start seeing the business value of inclusion and not just look at it from a compliance, let me cross off all the checklists. And I think now we're come to a point where we have so much proof and evidence that when you look at it from a business perspective, you actually are adding a lot more value. You're having more customers that are loyal. You're able to unlock more revenue. You and I probably use accessibility features that you didn't even know were accessibility features in the first place. Like, I don't know about you, but I can't watch a Netflix show without captions. I always have it on. Captions are designed for people with hearing impairments. We have dark mode and we have all these things that we can adjust our visual setting. That's designed for people with visual impairments. Even like speech to text was designed for people with motor impairments. There's so many features out there in our day-to-day life that was designed for people with disabilities first. You probably didn't know the broader benefit, but once it was available, there was that broader benefit. So I think that's the trend that we're seeing. And I'm just hoping more and more organizations hop on that trend.
No, absolutely. And I hope they do too. And what's on cue for Fable? So, I mean, you've experienced really great success thus far, but any CEO or leader worth their weight in gold has some visions for even more impact in the future. So for as much as you can share, because I know IP is very critical to keep close to the vest, what are some of your visions for Fable moving forward? You and your team, I should say. It's not just you.
Yeah, no, it's a whole amazing team that we have. And I would say, you know, we feel like we're just scratching the surface and solving this problem. There's a lot more companies that we want to be able to help. We really want to be able to reduce the digital divide for people with disabilities. We have two products that are in the market right now. We have our research and testing platform, Fable Engage, that helps product teams test their products with people with disabilities. And then we have our learning platform, Fable Upskill, where we're helping individuals and teams really understand, you know, accessibility based on their role and what they need to do to make sure they're contributing to it. And both of these in combination are really exciting because it's helping companies learn and practice at scale. Other big portion of our company is we provide flexible working opportunities to people with disabilities. We have a vast number of people with disabilities in the US and Canada. We're mostly the first time individuals with disabilities in our community are getting a tech job. They've never had a tech job before. So we see ourselves as a platform where they can start to enter the tech industry. And so when I think about the future, I think about being able to help a lot more organizations and being able to serve a wider community of people with disabilities as well, so that we can slowly start to see this gap being reduced. Sorry, my earphones just fell out.
That is totally fine.
There you go.
Wonderful. Glad to have you back. So I know you all are really focused on some of the larger and enterprise level firm because of their large footprints. But do you ever envision a time where there's some small business solutions as well? Because I know that, you know, what if you depend on what report you look at, a lot of the businesses around the world are small and medium-sized businesses. Is that a space that you envision Fable eventually going into, or are there other players in the market that kind of specialize in that space?
Yeah. At least I think for the near term, I think we're going to be continued to focused on serving enterprises. I'm a big believer of do a few things, but do it exceptionally well. And I think, you know, for helping enterprises, complex organizations, there's a lot of things that we can do in that space. And I think I agree with you, there's so many small and medium-sized businesses. I come from a family of entrepreneurs that have, you know, started small and medium-sized businesses, and I have a lot of respect for them. I think there are multiple things that are happening in this space. Yes, there are a lot of companies, there are a lot of free tools that are also helping small businesses maintain their accessibility. And so I expect that to continue to improve. And then I also see platforms, you know, like WordPress and even like Shopify, doing everything so that merchants also are able to have an accessible experience. So I'm excited about the innovation in that space, and we're going to continue to focus on helping the larger enterprises.
Now that makes a ton of sense, and I understand why, because there's a lot of like apps and other things that smaller size firms can infuse into their websites to help a bit, you know, until they grow to the point where Fable will be ideal for them.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to switch it up just a little bit with a question that we love to ask our guests. And as you may know, that I wrote a book on leadership execution and how some forming leaders, you know, tactics that they use, any leadership initiatives. And we always love to ask our guests which of the top seven that came out of our research just resonated with them. And our audience members know that all seven are equally important, but you know, and you use some in different situations, some more than others. But when talking to you, you were so kind enough to highlight two, as a matter of fact. and two that really resonated with you was one, leading with courageous agility, and two, leading with stakeholder savvy. And for our new listeners, leading with courageous agility is all about having the courage and the fortitude to do what you think is right and to, you know, make action steps and move forward, even if you're uncertain what's going to happen. So it's just being agile, but having courage to take that baby step forward. And then the second one is stakeholder savvy, leading with stakeholder savvy. And that's all about it's the sister tactic to emotional intelligence, but it's meeting your team, your clients, your customers, where they are, leaning in, trying to understand them and their perspectives, and, you know, adjusting your approach and how you interact with them based on, you know, things that you've picked up. It's all about interpersonal skills, basically, in a nutshell. So with courageous agility and stakeholder savvy both being two that pop for you, can you just share why they did for you personally? And I think I might understand because of the stage that you're at with Fable, but I'd love for you to articulate it to our audience if you can.
Yeah, it was hard to pick. All of them, I'm like, I think I've approached it that way, I've approached it this way. So I appreciate you including two.
Sure.
But I think courageous agility is something that I think a lot of leaders have had to do in the last few years. You know, we started Fable in 2018. We went out to fundraise in 2020 when COVID just hit. We have grown our business through various macro climates that have been extremely hard, and we've come out of it stronger, more resilient, and more confident in like the impact we've had. And I think a lot of that is just willing to be able to, you know, take that risk, like being, you know, confident, like, yes, this is a problem worth solving. I'm going to do this, and willing to take that risk, I think is what's, you know, helped us unlock those stages. And yeah, like I remember 2020, and I'm a first time founder, by the way, like it was a big jump for me to start a company, but now I can't imagine doing anything else. But for someone who's never done it before, I remember my first time fundraising was 2020, having like video calls with investors, and no one could give me advice because no one knew how to navigate that environment. And you just had to, you know, go with it. I'm glad that I just took that, you know, leap of faith, because I'm so passionate and in love with the problem we're solving. So that's definitely one. And I think the second one, like leading with stakeholder savviness, I think it's so important. You are constantly, you know, dealing with various levels of stakeholders, whether that's for us internally, from, you know, our most junior individual contributor to various levels of managers and leaderships members that we have, to externally when I'm, you know, speaking to our customers or prospects. It's really important to understand the problem the individual is facing and then the problem the business is facing. And often with startups, and I remember I had advisors who would always tell me this, is like, don't fall in love with your solution. Fall in love with your problem.
Yeah.
It's you can sell your solution, but if you're not solving your problem, it doesn't matter.
Nobody cares, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm always like being like, okay, let me put that question in my head anytime like I'm engaging with anyone internally or externally.
Yeah.
And I think that's helped in 20, like build a really great culture, an amazing team that's, you know, dedicated and helped us reach the success we have reached so far. And externally, it's amazing to have the kind of roster of customers that we have who trust us to be their partner in inclusive product development.
That's just amazing. Well, I literally blinked and we're almost at the end of time. I mean, this has been so fascinating. But before I let you go, I'd love for you to share what it takes for you to lead at the top of your game.
Oh, that's such a good question. Because I think it's, yeah, as leaders, you need to, you know, find your energy to make sure you're, you know, able to provide the best to your team and to the business. And for me, it's been changing a lot. There's always different things that like motivate me and push me, help me be in the right, you know, space and environment.
Yes.
But the recent one that I've gotten into is just a really good cadence. And it might sound not that exciting. It's
very no, whatever it takes is perfect.
But it's definitely just being more regular with workouts and yeah, just being able to release that energy and stress. And I recently, and I'm going to be very excited to do this again, I did an ice plunge for like the first time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole circuit of like you do the sauna and then you do the cold plunge.
Yes.
And then at first I was like, why would anyone do that? And then when I did it, I was like, this is so energizing.
Oh gosh, I can't remember his name right this second, but we had a guest on this show probably about 10 or 12 episodes ago. He does one every morning. He said it energized him beyond belief. So you're not as rare as you think. Oh, that is amazing. Well, continue to keep doing what you're doing. I cannot believe you live to tell the story, even through the pandemic, of the great strides that Fable has made. And we definitely wish you and your team and all the employees much continued success, because the work that you're doing is very much needed throughout the world. And I, for one, personally appreciate it, as well as I'm sure my listeners do. So thank you so much for the gift of your time and being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh, same here. Same here. And thank you, listeners, as well, for joining another episode of the Lead at the Top of Your Game podcast. For those of you who listen regularly, you know I only ask one thing, is that you all like and subscribe our podcast and just share with just one friend so that they too can learn how to lead at the top of their game. Thanks again and see you next week. And that's our show for today. Thank you for listening to the Lead at the Top of Your Game podcast, where we help you lead your seat at any employer, business, or industry in which you choose to play. You can check out the show notes, additional episodes, bonus resources, and also submit guest recommendations on our website at leadyourgamepodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn by searching for the name Karen Rhodes, with Karen being spelled K-A-R-A-N. And if you like the show, the greatest gift you can give would be to subscribe and leave a rating on your podcast platform of choice. This podcast has been a production of Shockingly Different Leadership, a global consultancy which helps organizations execute their people, talent development, and organizational effectiveness initiatives on an on-demand project or contract basis. Huge thanks to our production and editing team for a job well done. Goodbye for now.